The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in South Africa's vibrant property industry. We have a stalwart of sorts on the podcast this week. He has been in the SA property industry for over two decades. He was the president of SAPOA, which is the SA Property Owners Association, way back in 2008. When he was the boss of All Mutual Property. He is on a number of company boards and has his own venture called Alt Capital Partners. If you're a property insider, you will know who my guest is on this week's podcast. He is none other than Ben Kodisang, founder and CEO of privately held Alt Capital Partners. Welcome to the Property Pod, Ben.
Good morning, Suren, and yeah, pleasure being here. Thank you.
To kick it off, before we go into the history, because you probably have a lot of tales to say about your experience over the last 20 or more years, latest news that I saw on your LinkedIn post, in fact, last week, is an expansion of Alt Capital Partners in the Western Cape. Western Cape is very topical in SA property circles at the moment. But you have two acquisitions of small convenience retail centers there. Tell us a little bit more about this, because this is breaking news for your group.
Thank you very much. We were quite excited to acquiring these two properties, which give us effective entry into the Western Cape. So we acquired two properties. One is Thembokwezi, which is located in the township of Khayelitsha, anchored by ShopRite, is one of the convenience retail centers, just under 6,500 square meters of GLA. And the other one is Erica, which is based in Bilha, which is anchored by Spar. And both those are effectively entering to the Western Cape that we're quite excited about.
Has that been long on the cards, as it were? Can you share some more insight on why the Western Cape? Is it the cliche thing about that's where the action is at the moment?
No, the Western Cape has been one over the last couple of years where pricing has been a bit of a challenge. We joke about it in the property industry to talk about the Western Cape premium, which is due to the province clearly being well managed, the high quality of infrastructure, the higher economic growth, as well as lower levels of employment. So we decided to buy elsewhere while we were looking to find the right value to buy into. And these two property assets then presented themselves last year sometime. So we've been at it probably the last part of 9 months, or the last part of the last year, actually, until we concluded the two transactions, yeah.
Thanks for that, Ben. So how big is the company now overall, and where does it sit in terms of scale, number of properties, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so maybe a good way of understanding it. So we've got a retail property fund. It's called Reimagine Social Impact Retail Property Fund. We've got about four institutional investors that have committed about 1.3 billion rands worth of equity into that. We've got debt facilities of about 585 million rands. So that informs the capital structure of Reimagine. So Reimagine is actually the landlord, to use a property term, and All Capital Partners then is a management company to Reimagine. So Reimagine itself celebrated its 2 years in November 2024. It's been a busy 2 years, so we've now acquired or have about 13 assets on balance sheet. We've now completed two greenfield developments. The first one was in Vosloorus in Gauteng, the other one being Ekurhuleni, which is in Kenton-on-Sea. And as we speak, we on the ground in Ganyisa, which is in the northwest, as well as Nomarkwe, which is in the Eastern Cape. And the rest of the assets are brownfield assets. So we've got a portfolio of 13 assets. We, in 6 of the 9 provinces, we've got cumulative 60,000 odd GLA under management. And the portfolio value is just under R1 billion as we speak.
You're a stalwart in the SA property industry. Considering your previous roles, I mentioned Old Mutual and Sapoa, but you also were at Stanlib on the management side there and a few other groups. But tell us about Alt Capital Partners and how that came into being. From your LinkedIn profile, I see around 2018, but you know, starting a new company takes some time. So can you share some history about the company and what led you to go start your own venture?
Yeah, no, thanks. I guess in our life stage, we get to that point where we believe that we've learned what we should learn in terms of a track record, reputation, experience, etc. So in 2018, it was on my way to my 48th birthday. So I felt as if I was old enough to leverage a track record reputation, but yet young enough to start my last stage in my professional career. So the motivation was really a long-held ambition of mine to found something, and which was really then the genesis of Alt Capital Partners. It's been a long road. So Alt Capital Partners is 6 years old now, going into its 7th year in 2025. When we started, we anchored it as an impact investor, focusing mainly on private markets. I think our impact thesis was very wide at that time. We wanted to do convenience retail, student accommodation, affordable housing, co-living. And the investors kind of like got us to focus, which is how we landed primarily on convenience retail. So Reimagine Yourself as a Journey started in 2020, just around the genesis of COVID. We were busy then building Reimagine Social Impact Retail Funds, and we managed to get to first close on the 11th of November then in 2022.
We've kind of gone to the next question where you talked about the change of strategy to focus on convenience retail. That is one of the better performing sectors. But, you know, the timing, 2018, it was a year or two later that COVID came into being. Did COVID scuttle your plans a little bit? Do you want to share some insights on that period once you started and now the company seems to be gaining momentum?
Yeah, sure. So when I started in 2018, I felt the property cycle was probably at its peak. And as you know, it was probably the longest property cycle that we've had, which started more or less 2000, 2002. So I was really struggling to find value in 2018, 2019. And it clicked when we changed focus into making it about impact. And within the property sector, the one part where you could argue that it still presented a huge demand-supply dislocation is, I suppose, where we started: student accommodation, yes, affordable housing, yes, convenience retail to a large extent, yes, especially in townships and rural areas. Was not as competitive or crowded as other property types. And somehow it hasn't really seen a significant amount of investment. So the thesis kind of like made sense at the time. So clearly COVID helped us entrench our investment thesis, because convenience retail tends to focus on your convenience items in terms of food, healthcare, and cheap fashion, if I may call it, affordable fashion, sorry, is a better term, as such. So COVID actually helped entrench the business case. The unrest of July 21 provided a bit of instability. And I just remember having to engage investors to get them to get a sense of comfort that it is precisely for what we experienced in July 21 that we need to actually invest more in terms of convenience, retail, and townships and rural areas so that we can create a sense of balance in our infrastructure development in the country. So COVID, yeah, definitely had a huge impact.
Well, empowerment owned as well. But just going on to your experience, you're on several company boards in South Africa and Africa, I see, including Vukile, interestingly enough, which plays in that space, but it has some big malls as well. The group is mentioned on your website. Do you work with them? Are they investors in ALT, or how is it just the case of you being on the board, or is that relationship, does it extend?
Yeah, thanks, Suren. Yeah, so Vukile is pretty much our strategic business partner. So if we look at our investors in Reimagine, Vukile has committed about 200 million and the 1.3 billion. So besides Vukile, we've got the PRC, Rescura, the Eskom Pension and Provident Fund as our main investors. But Vukile is also a shareholder in All Capital Partners. And what our strategic thinking was at the time was to find a property partner who is well established in the addressable market that we wanted to play in. So it was important that they were in retail. It was important that they doing convenience retail. So clearly, we didn't want to do what they're doing, but we wanted to collaborate and add, I guess, to the overall value proposition. So we tend to focus on smaller properties, 12,500 square meters and less, while Vukile focuses on the bigger type of properties, as you just said, above 12,500 square meters. And so we've got a three-partite relationship. They are an investor in the fund, they are a shareholder in the management company, and at the time I sit on the Fortress board, which then presented a conflict then in terms of my day job, but they've been trying to get me to serve on the board, so it just also then made sense that they invited me to also sit on their Vukile board.
Just on the industry, do you want to share some insights on the lower end of convenience retail? Is it pretty much urban centers, or do you also invest in rural centers and how that market is doing at the moment? Because, you know, we talk about two-pot benefits, but the TERS scheme obviously has been extended, and that's been quite a topical thing where rural particularly and township malls have benefited from that extra grant, as it were.
So in the property data set, I guess we've coined the term convenience, right? But if you look at the property data points, is what is referred to normally as your neighbor goods or your local shopping centers. So you'll tend to find them within, let's say, a 3 to 5K radius of where people live. They tend to be characterized in terms of single-story shopping centers, open plan parking. So it's a very simple design where the major part of the GLA will be taken up by foods. And in terms of mix, is foods, is healthcare, it will be clothing, it will be convenience foods. In terms of fast foods, in the main, it will be your products in terms of medical services, it will be your banks in terms of ATM. So is that type of a product set which is very different to what you find in super regionals and regionals. So since COVID, I would say that, yeah, the sector has proven to be quite resilient. It is the second best performing outside of industrials and logistics sectors of the market, which is really performed stellar. So it's been very resilient and has been outperforming well. In terms of why, so one part of it, especially in the rural areas, is that thanks to a government where 18% of our population is on welfare, so there's an income underpin which significantly assists the performance of the rural part of the sector. And then in terms of township, there's been lots that's been written around how the township markets generally have been confounding the macroeconomic stats. So you can see it if you look at, say, Vukile's results as an example. If you compare their results to how the economy is performing, it's then very difficult to, or it's very easier to see that there's a bigger informal economy that's not quite being recorded by the macro economic indicators. That's pretty much at play. It probably talks to a level of entrepreneurship. I've seen studies that quantify township markets to the tune of about 900 billion. So it's actually quite significant and maybe explains a lot of the stuff that economic stats don't quite capture. So for us, it's quite exciting. I mean, it accounts for a big part of the population. It accounts for what I call the missing middle. So not quite top end, not quite the bottom 50, but the middle LSM between 3 and 7, which in most cases is growing. It underpins the civil servants and underpins our entrepreneurship activity in South Africa.
Cliche question, yeah, I know, but where do you see Alt Capital Partners in, say, 5 years? Potential listing?
Yeah, so we've got, year three of Reimagine. So Reimagine has got 10 years to go in terms of the current fund. So in 5 years' time will be the big decision whether we list Reimagine or whether we sell the assets into a successor fund or whether we sell the properties. So we'll evaluate the conditions of the market at that point in time. My holiday thinking was actually that we haven't seen too many new listings on the property sector of the JSE. So if the conditions are good in 5 years' time, I think it'll be a worthwhile consideration on our end to just add a little bit of diversity and type to the listed sector of the JSE.
Ben, I have to ask this question because you're such a stalwart. You've got so much of institutional knowledge. Talking about listed property, I thought you'd say, no, we're not interested in listed, because several private players that I've interviewed in recent years have said, no, it's not something that we are interested in. But you left All Mutual Properties well over a decade, probably 15 years ago. But those were the years when All Mutual was looking at listing its Triangle Fund. And for those who don't know, it includes the likes of Gateway and Umhlanga and Cavendish. Obviously, that's still unlisted. But at the time, it also involved rather the acquisition of Marriott, which was an asset management business, but also included their stake in SA Corporate Real Estate Fund. Long story, but they are still listed today, and All Mutual is a major shareholder still in that. Just for some heyday history, in hindsight, would you say that turned out to be a good decision not to list All Mutual, considering the discounts currently and also, the likes you have worked at Stanlib, but another part of their business, or not Stanlib's business, but Standard Bank's business through its shareholding in L2D last year, delisted from the JSE. Do you want to give us a little bit of history there? It would be quite interesting for our listeners.
Yeah, sure. Let me start by correcting the one statement to say I was very careful to hedge myself to say, well, make the listing on or keep it private in 5 years' time, because it's important to just analyze where the markets and where the cycle is at that point in time. So at the moment, yeah, we'll look at both. We haven't quite decided which direction yet, but it will be a decision to be made at that future point. And then secondly, you're taking me back. So I guess one thing I've learned in life, Suren, is that decision-making is situational, right? It's addressing the problems of the time. So at the time that I proposed listing to Old Mutual, it was just post the global financial crisis. And if you recall, in 2008 and 2009, it was pretty much a liquidity-driven event, which meant that Old Mutual's balance sheet at the time was overexposed to what we call illiquid assets. So property, private equity, infrastructure, those type of assets. And the management action in front of us at the time was either to sell properties to raise the liquidity or to list. So with the benefit of hindsight, I'll say that to my earlier points that the last cycle in property ended in 2018. So in 2010, 2011, we were pretty much in the early or the middle stage of the cycle. So with hindsight, had we listed, I think it would have been the correct outcome. But that said and done, clearly Old Mutual had other different considerations that it made to cancel the listing, which is, I guess, one of the reasons I ended up leaving, because I was not quite congruent with their decision. So fast forward to where we find ourselves in or what's happened afterwards. So both my immediate successor then had to clearly solve that problem, because the problem didn't go away by cancelling the listing. So I'm sure you would have noticed how Old Mutual then sold effectively a lot of their properties, and I speak under correction. I think they disposed of all the offices, they disposed of industrials. We did the transaction with Pareto, which was selling half of Cavendish and Menlyn, and now Old Mutual only owns Cavendish and Pareto, Menlyn, etc. So the portfolio in South Africa, I'll say, has reduced in terms of size, but they kept clearly the major performing super regionals and regional exposure. And then talking to them, a lot of the activity have been in Eastern Europe to just diversify the portfolio from a currency perspective, even though I don't think they're doing retail necessarily in Eastern Europe. They kind of like diversifying into offices, etc. So that's kind of like been their journey. Clearly, the problems that Old Mutual had were the same problems that Sanlam had, the same problems that Liberty had. And Sanlam clearly solved it differently, which is one of the reasons why Vukile exists today. So the listed part of Sanlam is now Vukile. And the part that's unlisted still sits within Sanlam Properties itself. Fast Mono portfolio, I think, is around about 10 billion rands in terms of size, and also going through a process of really establishing what it wants to be going forward. And then Liberty, to a large extent, I guess I'll say it's Amelia Beattie's influence as a retail person, but they had great assets on retail in terms of Sandton City and Eastgate, etc. So they anchored the portfolio around retail, which is what ended up then being listed as L2D. And the structure had a bit of a poison pill to it, because then it was also partly owned by policy holder funds, which meant that the management team seemed, as an outsider, that it had lots of capital capacity, because it did, because gearing was relatively low. But somehow it seemed to have lacked the motivation to significantly increase the size of the portfolio to the point where there wasn't enough liquidity on the share. So it didn't really have a broad following, which is, I suppose, the opportunity then the Standard Bank saw to close a discount to NAV. I'd rather take it in-house again. So I'm also curious to see what Standard Bank is going to be doing with it going forward, because I still think it presents a very good portfolio with lots of interesting prospects if, the right thing, I suppose, strategically get done with it.
Ben, thank you. I actually don't want to end on that note. We'll go back to your business in a sec. But that's the reason I asked you that question, that institutional knowledge around even Sanlam and Vukile. Some commentators have told me that Old Mutual shouldn't be owning property anymore. But that's nothing I'm going to ask you about per se. But also the history, which we'll maybe ask in another pod, around Zoki Siwe and that project with Mall of Africa coming into being, because Old Mutual still owns a lot of land in Midrand, even though that mega mall never came to being. It is strategic because it's near Gautrain station there. But we won't get into those issues. Ben, back to Alts Capital Partners. Just a last final question. What's your next acquisition? Is it a new province in South Africa? Are you working on your next deal?
Yeah, so I'll say in the short term, we're building a 5 billion rand portfolio. So our mandate is still pretty much South Africa and all provinces and townships and rural. In the midterm, we're building a 10 billion rand portfolio, and in the longer term, a 15 billion rand portfolio. So that's how we've kind of like mapped up our growth. So this year in particular, then, yeah, we're looking to probably double the size of the portfolio. So which means adding another billion rands worth of properties to it. We're looking to make an entry into Limpopo. We don't have any exposure there at the moment. My own home province, as such as speaking, is a free state. We've been looking to acquire an asset for sentimental reasons. But yeah, it seems like recently, yeah, we're looking at a few exciting opportunities there. So I'm hoping during 2025, we'll add to those provinces, which will take us to 8 out of 9. The Northwest remains elusive. We don't have pipeline. We don't see opportunities, but I'm sure it's mainly because of where we are hunting, but not for any other reasons. But yeah, so we're looking to double the size of the portfolio, so it's going to be another busy year ahead for us.
Ben, thanks so much for your time on the podcast. Really appreciate your insight.
Thank you.
That was Ben Kodisang, the founder and CEO of Alt Capital Partners.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The
Property Pod. MoneyWeb. Your trusted source for business and investment insights.